Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was our family tradition when I was a pastor in Georgia to drive out to the Christmas tree farms to pick out the perfect Haupt family tree. We would drive into the parking lot and behold the vista: spruce, fir, yellow pine, all over the rolling hills, a great timbered choir, soprano, alto, baritone, bass, singing these trees were, all in a row, laid out perfectly, standing tall. Come with me as we walk through the aisles of these trees to find the perfect one. Can you smell their aroma? Do you hear their singing? Not just the typical expected, oh, Christmas tree. No, these Christmas trees are singing the praises of their maker. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Can you hear their song? We find together the perfect tree, and I, the fabulous father figure, produce the mighty saw. And I fumble it as I try to cut down the tree by myself. We all together take this tree and hoist it upon the Haupt family minivan. We get to our home, and you help me to find a spot in the living room for this perfect family tree. But I say, I can prop up this tree all by myself with one hand now covered with sap. I hold the tree as I turn the screws of the tree stand. Ah, this tree is going to be glorious. This tree is going to sing the praises in my very own living room. Until I hear you, all of you, along with my boys, snickering in the corner. What? Dad, it's crooked. Ah, I step back, realize that you're right. I drag the tree back outside, recut the base for a straighter cut, bring it back into the house, try to prop it up, but now as I try to let go, I realize that the tree is not even going to stand on its own. Visions of my neighbor's wood chipper come into my mind. I'll show this blasted tree how hard it is to prop up a solitary tree cut from the woods. Our text this morning is Romans 16. Paul begins his epistle to the Romans in the typical fashion. He introduces himself, gives a glimpse of the gospel, tells the recipients of this letter that he's thankful for them, that he's praying for them, that he longs to visit them. Why does Paul long to come to Rome? Take in some sights, maybe see the forum, see a gladiator match? No. Paul says in Romans 1:11 that he longs to come to the Roman Christians to impart some spiritual gift so that they might be sterizoed. Let me hear you say, sterizo. Sterizo. What does this word mean that Paul so longed for the Roman Christians? One commentator, a former professor of Concordia Seminary, now sainted, Georg Steckhardt, even says that this word, this concept, sterizo, is the very purpose of the epistle to the Romans. Important word, then. It also shows up in our reading this morning in Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to sterizo you. What does that look like? What does Paul long for? What am I hoping for in this very sermon? that you might be steridzoed. I'll tell you what being steridzoed doesn't look like. Romans 1 through 3. Paul looks out at the forest of humanity and he sees not a single tree left standing. Not a single tree that will be able to stand on the coming day of judgment. No one is righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and ceased to sing the glory of God. We all, as you look around, as I look at you, we all lie like Christmas trees in January, waiting to be thrown out, waiting for the landfill, for the incinerator. It's very challenging to take a solitary tree cut from the woods and try to prop it up. And Paul says we do not justify ourselves. We do not prop up our own selves. No, the gospel. How sweet the gospel is. That there is one who stands upright, who has been revealed by the scriptures from of old. Christ has come, the righteous one, revealed from God. Christ has been killed and made alive. And in him we are justified, not by works of the law, not by propping up ourselves in self-justification. No, we have been made to stand by the gospel. It's a little glimpse of what it looks like to be steridzoed, to be stood back up. But there's another problem in Rome. There's another problem here, today, in the church. As I look out across the forests of the church, I see not great people who are propping one another up and speaking words of gospel. Often I see blog posts that are trying to bring down brothers and sisters, not considering other people as the weaker brother even, no, fully judging one another with a single tweet, calling into question someone's entire identity, questioning everything that they confess, even that they confess Christ. How we treat each other. The gospel has great implications for this. You see, Paul isn't some self-reliant individualist who is celebrating personal salvation. Salvation indeed, but Paul throughout his letters always is talking about how we are one body, many members, but one body, he reminds us in Romans 12. The gospel brings us together as one. And so this steridzoing, this establishing, this strengthening, this rerooting, it's not just for you as individuals, as if you are one solitary Christmas tree standing alone in a desolate wilderness. No. This steridzo that Paul is looking for is for you, plural. For all of you. As Wendell Berry has said, to speak of the health of an isolated individual is a contradiction in terms. Wendell Berry says that the grace that is the health of creatures can only be held in common. Paul longs for the day and is confident in God, who is already at work doing this very thing of sterizoing you all, that when you look out across the forest of trees, there you are planted together, a community of trees. The rest of this season and into Christmas, we will, as a church, sing together Gloria in Excelsis Deo. And so, to him who is able to sterizo you all, in accordance with my gospel, the message that I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all Gentiles might come to the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.